Welcome, future-minded listeners, to episode 46 of the Nerd Stravaganza podcast, where tonight we bring you our first installment of Fixing Epcot, our hopefully recurring segment where we outline all the things we'd like to do to fix one of our favorite theme parks, Epcot, in Orlando, Florida. I'm Tom.
I'm Rick.
I'm Annette.
Brian couldn't make it tonight.
So you got Annette Funkicello, or whatever her name is.
Annette Funkicello.
Annette Funkicello is here, folks, and she's going to be speaking in that voice all night, because otherwise it would be weird. But before we set about fixing Epcot, let's start things off with our Geekly Weekly Roundups, which are in no way Disney or Epcot related, I'm sure. How about you, Brian?
Mine is slightly Epcot related. I spent about 20 hours on the parks this last weekend, so yeah, not to ruin it. Sorry, Tom.
No problem. Anything else to report aside from that?
Yeah, actually, I had a pretty cool zany weekend. I didn't really know what to expect from these two things, so I'll report on just the turn of events that I experienced. I like playing MMOs, and I like to check out the new free-to-play MMOs to see what's good, just to keep up with things. So I checked out Scarlet Blade. Is anyone familiar with this?
Only because you sent me the link or told me to look it up.
Rick, no?
Bleed Blood Blade, no.
All right. It's apparently loosely based on one of my absolutely favorite animes to hate, Queen's Blade, where it's nothing but women warriors fighting to the doom. And I didn't really know what to expect from the game version of that, but it's absolutely nothing but women warriors fighting to the death.
Sorry, Brian, but why is that one of your least favorite animes? Because that sounds great.
It's very one-dimensional, and as far as like promoting quality anime, it's not the best example of it. It's pure fan service. It's all boobs and violence. Mm. So if you're trying to get in, no, anime is not all boobs and violence. It's really good. You should. You don't want to say Queen's Blade, but the video game, that's totally different. That's all boobs and violence too. You cannot create a male character in the game. They don't exist. I do like the game though. It was nice and fast paced. And it's really kind of tongue in cheek, because I was playing a whipper, and she's basically completely naked. And she gets a quest to go out and fight, and the reward is a whip. Here's your first weapon. And she actually said, "I'm naked, but you're giving me a whip. Thanks. I'm gonna go fight with this." And then she stalked off. And then the second reward was like a pair of high heels. And she's like, "Yeah, that's what I needed to cover. Good job." So I like that it's a little tongue in cheek.
Yeah, cool. It's aware of itself. That's cool.
Beautiful graphics would totally do the job if you were so inclined. And then I mentioned this book last week, Acacia. I'm reading that, and it's a cool, epic fantasy about kingdoms falling and ancient wrongs being righted, children being enslaved for illicit purposes. And right in the middle of it, there's about like a 5-page description of how one civilization is a little idolatrous, and there's about 4 pages that describes their women having sex with a statue. I'm just not used to that in my science fantasy.
What is the name of this book again?
Acacia?
I think Acacia is the psychological term for the condition that makes one want to have sex with statues.
I should have known that. That probably would have been less surprising if I had.
Wow.
Maybe this is my own fault. Maybe this is entirely my ignorance showing.
Is this just literary porn masquerading as some kind of a fiction book or what?
I think it was like a commercial break. I think he was like, damn, I'm losing the readers. I better spice it up somehow. Because the rest of it's pretty serious. It's really good fiction.
Okay. So this whole statue sex thing is kind of like a Girls Gone Wild commercial to keep the listener tuned in.
It's underdeveloped coastal islands gone wild in worship of their vengeful queen or something like that. Like, just a little out there for me.
For me too. Anything else, sir?
I'm good.
I get the sense that Rick would like to tell us what he's been up to this past week.
I went to Epcot on Wednesday, I went to Epcot on Saturday, and I played Peggle till my eyes bled. End of report.
Wow.
Yes. Which brings me around to me. I went to Epcot on Saturday, we all went to Epcot on Saturday, and that is what motivated tonight's topic. With that out of the way, let me tell you what else I've been doing. Playing the same three video games. The Super Mario for the Wii U. Some Borderlands with Brian. Hoping to finally get through the second playthrough on that. And be in good position for the final DLC pack that's going to come out. And playing some Final Fantasy 13. Which I'm going to spend a little bit of time on only to say that it's gotten increasingly cooler as I've embarked on the side missions. Because venerable characters from the series, Chocobo, Cactar, and Tonberry have all made an appearance. And Tonberry, for those of you that don't know, is a little fish lizard type creature that wears a hood and carries a dagger and a lantern. And he made his appearance when I was doing one of these side hunting missions. This dread beast like emerged from the ground with all these tentacles and looked like it was really ready to give me a hard time. And Tonberry comes running on screen and just knifes it and like kills it in one blow. And then I had to fight Tonberry. So that was awesome.
Did you have to fight him to the death?
I did. I did have to fight him to the death. And he was just running around knifing my guys, like doing mega damage. It's such an awesome enemy. And I had a similar encounter with a giant Cactar who did the 10,000 needles attack and like instant killed me. So I'm gonna have to fight him when I'm higher level. But Final Fantasy 13 has been really cool. I'm going through doing all basically the free play, you know, portion before I finish up the main story. And playing it has gotten my juices flowing for another game that was recently released. As I said, in these side missions, I'm going around hunting down these various creatures that I have to defeat, these monsters, if you will. That's got me kind of excited about a recent release for the Wii U called Monster Hunter, which is that game I also had it for the original Wii. I played it a little bit, but Monster Hunter for the Wii U seems really cool because, of course, you've got the online play. And there's a version that has come out for the 3DS, and you can transfer your saved games between the two. And if some friends of mine happened to have the game for the 3DS and brought it over to my house where I was playing it on the Wii U, we could all play together locally with me on the Wii U and my friends on their 3DSs, and whatever progress or whatever they gained would be with them when they left. Would be saved on there.
That's pretty badass. That's the kind of integration we've been talking about and hoping for forever.
Yes, sir. So, I'm really excited about that, and I will probably pick that game up. I'm going to reward myself for beating any of the three games I'm trying so hard to beat by picking that up. Hmm. And I'm hoping that I can get my nerd extravaganza family to follow suit and jump in with me on the Monster Hunter. Because you guys both have 3DSs, right?
Nope.
I do not have a 3DS.
That's the one Game Boy that I don't have.
Well, now you've got a reason. Oh, I also started reading two new books. I won't mention the titles because by started reading two new books, I mean position them on my nightstand in hopes that that'll prompt me to go to bed early enough to read for a little bit before falling asleep. When I actually crack them open, I will get into more detail. And that concludes my weekly geekly or geekly weekly roundup. I am just completely unable to get that right. Anyway, on to tonight's topic. fixing Epcot. This is a topic near and dear to my heart, and I know Rick's, and we are rapidly indoctrinating Brian into the cult of Epcot deficiency, I think.
Yeah, I actually liked the park at first, and they were like, no, 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 this is what's wrong with it.
Epcot's failure is that it doesn't even come close to living up to the original dream. And we have kicked back and forth the idea of devoting numerous episodes to the original dream and what Epcot could be and how it could be a showcase for life in the distant future and the not so distant future. And we've decided that we'll tackle it over the course of a few episodes, but we'll start at the most granular level and then work our way out to the most grand 30,000 foot view of what Epcot should be versus what it is. Suffice it to say that it started off in the mind of Walt Disney as a futuristic city, and in its present state, it is kind of just a semi-uninspired theme park. Would you say that's a fair characterization, Rick?
Yeah. I think the worst part is that, you know, we didn't get the Walt Dream Epcot, but we probably, even if Walt didn't die, it's skeptical whether we actually really would have got something like that anyway. So to look back at what we actually got originally as a theme park was something that was basically an idea incubator of awesomeness. I mean, a lot of people didn't like it because I gotta learn if I go to Epcot. But I, for one, was one of those people who loved going there because it was like Nerdvana, man. It was the holy land for everything geeky and nerdy and sciency, and I was happy with what was handed over from the original idea. It was a bastardized version, yes, but what we got was a very unique theme park and experience that stood on its own. And as time went on, it started to fade and changed, and it's really not the same wonderful soul that it once was. And that's where we need to fix Epcot.
Yep. Yeah, and I'll say, as a kid, of course, a lot of the kids thought Epcot sucked, and I would parrot their, yeah, that park sucks, sentiments. But I secretly liked Epcot. I liked all the kind of hands-on, nerdy stuff you could do there. And they've gone away from even that. And as Rick mentioned, that was but a mere approximation of what the original grand dream was, but I even that was better than what we've gotten to today. So yes, fixing Epcot, as Rick has said, and we decided to start with baby steps as we fix Epcot in our minds, rather than come in and say we'd like to level the whole place and build a Jetsons like city.
They vetoed me.
Yeah, the guest relations didn't take that under advisement. Rather than start off with the wrecking ball, we'll through our influence at the Nerd Extravaganza podcast get Disney to come around on this. We'll start small and work our way up.
Now, we've talked about in the past on shows and off shows of things that they could do to fix what's missing, like bring the edutainment back to Epcot. Because most of us that liked Epcot, that's why we liked it. I will take learning something over a thrill ride any day of the week. Because there's places I will go to for a thrill ride. Epcot, that's not first and foremost in the front of my mind. Hey, I want to get scared shitless on a ride. Let's go to Epcot! Yeah! It's, hey, we've had time riding on these rides and seeing all of this wonderment. Let's take it easy, man. Let's walk around the future. And sadly, that's really what has disappeared from Epcot. So we've always said, let's bring something like that back, even if it was on a temporary scale.
Mm-hmm.
And we came across an abandoned place in Epcot that actually used to be a restaurant, And now it's housing some pretty interesting things, and it really spoke to this missing piece of Epcot that we've been talking about off and on. So this thing that we're constantly referring to as why can't they just do this, they actually did do it. And I'm going to let Tom explain what it is and the rest of the idea. But basically, we stumbled across one of our suggestions in real life and saw that it can work. And personally, how it made us feel to see something like this was unbelievable. And that's really what sparked this topic, because now we know for a fact it's not just bullshit, wishful dreaming and thinking. It's a definite possibility, right?
It's a definite yes. Could be, maybe.
It's doable. Whether they will or not is the question. But it's definitely capable of being done. So go ahead, Tom. You can explain it better than I would be able to.
So a running joke is that there's this big structure, this big kind of interesting-looking restaurant structure called Odyssey. And it's seldom used for anything. I think they use it for, like, staff food service, but it's never open to the public. It just sits there. Well, while we were in Epcot this last time, Rick mentioned to me that you could go in now and bring your, if you're a season pass holder like we are, bring your flimsy paper season pass in and trade it for a cool credit card, like more sturdy pass. And you do it in that building. And I thought, well, yeah, I'd like to take care of that. Let's go in and do that. So I was figuring it would just be a line and, you know, you walk in and no big deal. But
lo and behold, I didn't wait to say it.
Yes. Lo and behold, when we walked in, we were pleased to find really two key elements. One, a sort of impromptu museum of animatronic and Epcot memorabilia.
And just general Disney memorabilia, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. And general Disney memorabilia. And when we say memorabilia, we don't mean Annette Funicello's Mickey Mouse ears. We're talking like animatronic pieces, you know, or things that were once featured in rides or attractions that are no longer in operation. Interesting photos, exhibits of what the different passes used to be like through the years at Disney. A lot of really cool things that just were just sitting there on display for us to enjoy. And wow, I mean, why aren't exhibits like that everywhere in Epcot, and not just memorabilia and things promoting Disney? Why aren't exhibits highlighting various technologies and so on everywhere you look in Epcot? I mean, even down into the ride queues, like there should be little pavilions and huts and things you can go into to just look at cool stuff like that everywhere. Epcot should be a year-round showcase of neat stuff to see. A year-round world showcase, if you will.
Of technology.
Of technology and gadgetry, yes. And science and what have you. So that concept was on display. And then in addition, Disney showed the potential for Epcot as a showcase for the latest in consumer gadgets and goods, which is in keeping with the spirit of the original Epcot City, in which it wouldn't have been inconceivable for a resident to leave home in the morning with a Quasar microwave and come home with like a Sony, because, you know, the staff would have come in and put in the latest gadget, right? You were always going to be able to avail yourself of the latest technology in your daily life. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Rick. That was like one of the things that were alluded to in the original concept.
Yeah, definitely. You were basically going to be the guinea pig beta testers for the rest of the world.
Right, exactly. So the consumer product that they actually had on display. So here we are to get these new badges, right? So basically here we are to get the Quasar microwave, and on display with Apple quality packaging and presentation was the next generation of identity badges, which is the actual like wristband that has some kind of a chip in it that you're going to use to scan in to do your fast passes and presumably be able to purchase things and everything. You're going to have these cool color, very simple but nevertheless elegant looking colored wristbands, and they're showcasing them like a product, like a future product. And I got excited. I'm like, wow, this is what I want to see at Epcot. Expand that idea and pass just a product that Disney's putting out. How awesome would it be to walk in and see on display the PlayStation 4, the next generation in high-definition televisions, a new Apple product, a new Android phone. Take your pick of any number of cool consumer goods, even if they're just prototypes, a prototype of some new car coming out, anything like that. How awesome would it be to have different stuff like that cycling through Epcot all the time?
In the past, we had semi-delusions of grandeur, and we're like, they could put that in the old CommuniCore East and CommuniCore West. But, you know, we saw how it affected us and how it affected every single person that walked in there. Everybody had a holy shit look on their face when they saw this stuff. So it kind of really put it into perspective of, dude, it doesn't have to be something big. Take a super baby step and let's keep that Odyssey place open as a little miniature museum to Epcot of old by showcasing Future of the New.
Yes.
You know, it doesn't have to be on a grand scale. It could be a couple of pieces and some information to wet the whistle and prove to people, corporate people, that visitors are still interested in that kind of stuff.
And they would be.
And it's the kind of thing, I mean, we've talked about it a bunch of times. Like Tom said, the PlayStation 4, the Xbox 720. I mean, these are things that are put out on a level of the CES or E3. But you know what? Sure, showcase them at those big trade conventions. But then let them slide over to a place where technology is supposed to be king, and it's respected and admired and adored and loved, and get that feedback. I mean, granted, it is a transient audience, but at the same time, it's still a gigantic audience, and it gives them that tech cred that they used to have. You know, the whole reason why Epcot pretty much took a shit in the first place was because we got to a point where the technology that they were alluding to, we've either come to or surpassed greatly. So, much like they did with Tomorrowland, rather than let's project what's going to be big in the future, let's just avoid it altogether. And in Tomorrowland, we'll go retro. And in Epcot, we'll just disown our past and come up with a whole new theme for the place. I don't think that's really the way to go. We don't have to look into the future. We don't have to have that 50,000-foot bullshit view. The technology grows so fast now, let's do smaller, less permanent exhibits of current and maybe next-gen tech. Let's stay half a step ahead of the curb. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then, you know what? I'm not even suggesting abandon the 22nd century look at things, but let the Imagineers run wild with that stuff.
Exactly.
This is what we think the distant future might be like. This is what we can reasonably expect the near future to be like, and here's a sneak peek.
I mean, dude, honestly, I've been to science museums that have a deeper and better theming and involvement of technology than Epcot does at this point, and that's just plain sad, because if a local city museum can pull it off, Epcot and Disney should be able to pull it off.
Yes.
And that is the place where it should be pulled off.
Epcot should be a showcase. And I really want to get Brian's feedback as sort of somebody who we're indoctrinating. But I want to add one more thing to the consumer side of things. I want to add on just the pure science and technology side. What would be wrong with engaging an agency like NASA and having a kiosk or a display or what have you, where maybe like all the new data, coming in from like the Mars rovers is on display, and you've got a NASA person there who gives you like a quote unquote briefing about all the new stuff they're discovering at NASA, or take your pick of any other laboratory or corporate R&D department where they're doing awesome stuff.
Oh yeah, dude. And then have a fake simulator of what the controllers in NASA are doing to control those on the surface robots. And that instead of Mission Space would have been fucking zillion times cooler.
Hell yes it would. I mean, even have that next to Mission Space. Hey, you had fun goofing around. Now see what NASA's really doing. Or even one of those private space lift companies like SpaceX or one of those guys. I mean, if that's the right name. there's so much potential here to have sponsored attractions, which is what Epcot's always been about, but that are actually relevant. And I mean, with that, I think, Brian, you've heard us now hold forth for quite a while. What do you think about what we're saying here?
I don't know where to start. I like this idea, but I don't want to like it. I kind of don't understand why Disney doesn't, at the very least, just whore out the space to corporations to just leave their CES booths open all year round.
Exactly. That's exactly what me and Tom have said. They're already spending the money somewhere else in another time for another show. Instead of putting it in storage or throwing it away, let it live in fucking Epcot and whore it out for a little while.
Exactly. Just park it at Epcot for 6 months, a year, whatever.
I'd like to see something better than that. I'd hate to see it go, you know, so obviously marketing themed, and I'd really have better aspirations for it, but
it's a start.
It's still so much better than what happened, and I kind of don't think there's any reason not to. For me, for instance, even when I was a kid, especially when I was a kid, the only thing I could stand about Epcot was the Living Seas. It wasn't amazing future tech, but it was actually educational. And I remember the Living Seas being actually pretty dry way back when. But I liked fish so much, and I actually have a love for underwater life, that I loved that place and I never wanted to leave. And it's become Finding Nemo?
Well, okay, this is probably going to be a little bit off topic, but I'll be super quick. It is Finding Nemo now, but that's just the entrance. The rest of the Epcot, or the Living Seas experience, is the same. They still have the tanks, they still have the dive tank. I mean, it's not as cool and spacey and, you know, underwater awesomeness as it was before. They've kind of let the place go to shit. You know, there's ugly fish in there, there's no nice looking coral. The whole thing's kind of a piece of shit, really, as an aquarium. But the integrity of what it's supposed to be, like, you can, there's still a bunch of learning kiosks, there's still the nursery area, all that stuff is still there. Instead of riding down in hydrolators or taking the clam mobiles that they used to have, now you're taking a short little Nemo ride. As somebody who does not like characters in Epcot, I was very unoffended by this overlay because the meat of that ride still stayed the same.
I think I don't want to call it dirty because it's still a hell of a lot cleaner than anything at Universal, but it's looking a little dingy. And I actually went, one of my friend's girlfriends is a veterinarian or a veterinary student or I don't know, something like that. She's really into animals. And she was kind of commenting, a lot of the fish are pretty beat up.
Yes, yes. It's a shithole in there, dude. It's like a death tank. It's not. And I really figured once they did the Nemo overlay that we were going to get a bunch of fake coral in there, which I would have been fine with, you know, because at least there would be some color. But it's nothing, dude. It's like dingy, dark. It's like fish prison.
Yeah, see, I liked it a lot better, I don't know, 10 years ago.
But that really is just because they let it go.
I think they let it go. I think the most likely reason they let it go is because it's expensive.
Yes.
So, okay, hoard out to corporations, make some money off of it. Don't let it go the way of the Living Seas. You can still do plenty of nice things with science and technology in the future without having to break your bank. Although I really doubt that Epcot's hurting for money.
It's the second most popular park out of the four.
That is the problem, guys. I mean,
that is the problem, Tom. That's exactly the fucking problem. Because if everybody took a stand and said, fuck you, this place is a piece of shit, bring it back to some type of glory, then, and only then, would something happen, I think.
For being the second most popular park, I notice a marked decrease in attendance between Epcot and the Magic Kingdom. I just want to say that. It makes me wonder.
I will say that when we were there the first week of blackout dates or the first weekend of blackout dates for spring break. But because we're all AP holders, we were able to avoid the blackout dates, and it's totally worth the money. Anyway,
that's right. We're special. You were joking about meeting Geiger, didn't you? Or what's his name?
Iger.
Iger, sorry.
So yeah,
Geiger would have been a different.
Would have been although some Geiger themed stuff inside of Epcot space would be awesome. Really, to Tom's point, there was a huge difference in attendance. Magic Kingdom was packed to the gills, and we walked around Epcot like it was a vacant lot. And that's really unheard of, man. I was surprised.
Now let's bear in mind, we're basically talking about the technological side of Epcot, and the World Showcase, which is the other half, I have many fewer complaints about. I'd like a lot more to be done there. I don't really want to go off on that tangent, but that might be what keeps the attendance at Epcot high.
It's definitely what keeps the attendance at Epcot high. It's really what I go for when I go there now. The whole front of Epcot is just, it's a nostalgic love. I cross over those gates and into the World Showcase, and then it's adult hangout time.
Yeah, and that's what I like about Epcot. I really just like the ambiance and the atmosphere in the World Showcase. And I have to say about the Living Seas, you know, remember when we were kids, they had all of those interactive exhibits at Epcot, all of the stuff that you could play with and touch, and it was pretty... It was at least current tech, if not future tech, all the interactive exhibits and everything.
Right.
They had the good sense to kind of just let those go away when they became comical. Why can't they do the same? I mean, if the Living Seas is going to basically become like a live well for bait fish or something, why don't they just why don't they just kind of close that down too? And then start over. All kidding aside, though, I understand that Epcot is a functional park. They get so many people through the gate, and, you know, Disney quarter over quarter wants so many people coming through those gates, so the prospect of shutting down large swaths of the park could be very expensive.
Exactly.
They've got to develop... Right, so you're with me on that.
Yes.
So they've got to be able to develop things in place, as they did with New Fantasyland. It didn't really disrupt most of the Magic Kingdom. What we're calling for is a much more modest disruption. In fact, no disruption at all. The Odyssey restaurant that you're not even using, all we want you to do, Epcot, and Iger, Geiger, whatever your name is to transform that into a showcase of near future tech. And I mean, I'll settle for 5 years in the future. So show us Ultra HD TVs before we can buy them and some other stuff like that. Baby steps, because it was... It was an electric feeling almost when I walked into that building and got exactly what I've been looking for at Epcot, a taste of the future. These wristbands, they're not available yet, but I got to see what they're going to look like, and I got the promise that as an annual pass holder, I'm going to get one, and that gets me excited. That gets me really excited.
You know, I was shitting on the whole wristband thing idea, and then I saw them. I saw that slick-ass packaging, and I saw those bright colors, and I saw them in the flesh, so to speak, ahead of... I mean, I'd seen them in pictures, and But to see the real thing, I was like, oh, crap. And then it's right next to an animatronic hand, which is right next to a functional animatronic doll from a closed-down exhibit, and then another doll that was from Small World. I mean, it was fucking cool, and that's not even... future tech, that's just like Epcot history tech and Disney history tech. And it was still, I felt for a small moment in time, I felt like it used to feel. It was wonderment, dude, and it was fucking awesome.
Imagine instead that those were, just insert anything you want there. That theme, that two-pronged theme, new gadgets and tech works. It's just a gawk at it. It wasn't just background, you know, scenery. People were stopping and taking time to look and thought it was cool. And some people were climbing up on plants to try to touch Figment. Now that's no good. We don't do that anymore.
That was me. And It was supposed to be roped off, but the rope was dropped, and I kind of got a little finger shame, but the guy knew that I was a huge fan and was kind of like, looked the other way, which was awesome. And we forgot to mention that we got to see one of the original Figment figures on display sitting there in full size, in full color, in full Figment glory. And I got fucking choked up, dude. I'm not even lying. That little bastard is my absolute favorite. He is a figment of your imagination. He's the spark of imagination. My whole life is based on imagination. It's what got me to where I am today. So to see the personified icon right there in front of me in touching distance, it blew my fucking mind. So beyond seeing all that other cool stuff, then I got to see that, which was a huge nod back to the old days, and I was beside myself with glory, dude. It was awesome.
It really was. It really was. And then let's not forget that on the way out the door, you got to test your newly issued plastic card with the badass new card readers that are not just like some generic scanner, but they're like these orbs at the ends of poles, and when you hit your card up against it, they illuminate like in all these different bright colors. Really awesome. And of course the illuminated segment is or section is in the shape of a Mickey Mouse head. So it's really cool.
And again, showcasing the future tech currently. And how future tech? Well, it's already in the park, so it's not that future, but not everybody gets to use it yet. So that's those baby steps we're talking about. Dude, everybody in that place was blown away. They were fascinated by the new tech. They were fascinated by the old tech, the nostalgia. It had everything in a little shitty makeshift space. It was unbelievable, man.
Agreed.
It was very promising. And future episodes, we're going to pick a specific place, and we're going to talk about how we want a Ganza fix it, how we may want a real life fix it. But, you know, this episode was more of a culmination of our trip, our inspiration, and a little bit of a bright light of Epcot future.
Absolutely.
This is going to be a long-running series, and I think it's going to make for some awesome trips and definitely for some awesome episodes.
I agree. And I also agree that we have successfully concluded our first recommended step for fixing Epcot. Do you guys concur?
I do, and we finally pulled off a positive, negative, positive show.
Right. It's called constructive criticism or tough love.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, with that, guys, I think we can adjourn. Before we do that, I encourage you all to swipe your Walt Disney World cards. Wait, no, those don't work in iTunes. You know what? Just use iTunes, however it is you use iTunes, and subscribe to the Nerdstravaganza podcast. Go ahead and write a positive review, as positive as our episode was tonight, and give us 5 out of 5 stars.
Or you can head on over to www.nerdstravaganza.com, where you can download the show, rate the show, leave us comments, send us suggestions for future shows, or tell us how you would like to see Epcot repaired, fixed up, and betterized.
And speaking of future tech, there's this new thing. I'm in on it. I'm an early adapter. I'm going to mention it. I'm going to pass it along to you guys because you're cool. You're with me on this. Go to Facebook. It's www.facebook.com and like our page. I think this Facebook thing is going to catch on. I think in 2 or 3 years, everyone's going to have one.
They could put a terminal in at Epcot. I think in conclusion, we can only say
peace.
Get into our geekly. Is it weekly geek? Let me get this right
again.
Is it geekly week? I never get it right. Is it geekly weekly? It is. Okay.
I'm not sure I know anymore.
It's GW. Let's just do it that way.